Our scripture today is Matthew. Matthew 7, verses 15 to 20. In my NIV, I'm reading the older NIV. The title is A Tree and Its Fruit. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them.
Thank you, Beth. And Haley, I don't know if any of you guys recognize Haley. That's Sean Rufner's younger sister. Sean's helped with music a couple other times, so we're glad to have you here with us, Haley, and your family. And this morning we're continuing the approach to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And as last week we looked at, Jesus talked about the narrow and wide gates, and he was bringing the sermon to a kind of a point of closure, a kind of point of decision-making, saying, hey, there's narrow and there's wide, there's a narrow gate. There's a wide gate. There's two different paths. And it comes to a point where, hey, I've taught. I've been teaching and teaching and teaching. Jesus says, I've been teaching what discipleship looks like, who my disciples are. And there comes a point where we need to decide, are we one of Jesus' disciples? Are we going to choose that path or not? And that was last week. That was kind of part of his closing. And this week we're looking at more as he looks at this closing. And he gives us this analogy of kind of two little analogies. He talks about a wolf in sheep's clothing, and he talks about a tree that bears two different types of fruit. So as he gave the whole Sermon on the Mount, he gives this clear teaching on discipleship. Last week he moves into this transition of, okay, it's time to make a decision. And now this week he's looking more at, okay, this is how you discern a little bit of the difference of how you make these decisions and how do you know who's made the decision and who hasn't. And so he talks about a tree and its fruit and a sheep or a wolf in sheep's clothing. But before we start, I just want to ask this question, and Laz and Caleb aren't allowed to answer because they had this pounded into their head a couple of weeks ago. But have you ever taken time and just really sat and thought about why you're here? Why do you come to church every Sunday morning? Why do you go through these motions? I mean, look, I don't know everyone in this room, but those of you that I do know, I mean, I know that this has been pretty much every Sunday for every Sunday of your life, whether that's 15 years or 14 years or 70 years or 90-some years. You've been in a church building, and for a lot of you, it's been this church building. It looked different a couple of years ago before I got here. You guys did a renovation, and, you know, you're on through the years, but why? Why do you keep coming back? Why do you keep coming to church? Why do you keep reading this book? Why do you keep going to Sunday school? Why? When's the last time you looked at your life and kind of did an evaluation and said, why am I doing that? Am I doing this just because I've always been doing it? Why am I doing that? And over again in the teachings of Jesus throughout the New Testament and really the whole Bible, but Jesus really emphasized over and over again that question is really important and that your answer to that question is really important, that the why that you do things is really important. And he gives a lot of different teachings. The Sermon on the Mount is one of them, that I've taught about a number of different times because it's been so significant in my life is the parable of the two brothers. A lot of times it's called the parable of the prodigal son, where the younger brother, goes off and leaves the father and does all this crazy stuff and comes back. But we have this picture of the older brother who's always done everything right his whole life. But Jesus says the reason why he did everything right was wrong. The why is really important. And we as a group of people that go to church every Sunday, we're doing the right things. But I think every now and then we need to stop and examine why. And that's what I think it's what Jesus is pulling out here at the end of his Sermon on the Mount. He starts to ask these why questions. He wants his followers to start asking these why questions. But this church, you know, and whenever people ask me the honor part of Crown Hill, you know, how are things going? What's Crown Hill like? I always have very complimentary things to say because you're a very faithful and loyal congregation. When you look at the things, I missed the food pantry last week. It's for the first time in a while. But what you as a church do with the food pantry, with the Crown Hill Manor, I mean, those two things alone are just huge undertakings and huge blessings to this community. And then you look at all the kind of internal things, the committees, the Sunday school classes, the sewing ladies that meet here and they meet it down at Kidron. You know, this is a church that does a lot. It's been a part of a lot that does a lot of things. But I think every now and then we need to stop and ask the question, why? Why are we doing those things? And that's what Jesus is calling us to this morning as he brings conclusion to the Sermon on the Mount. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together as your body, brothers and sisters, to sing your praises, to worship you in song, to pray together, to hear your word spoken together. And so, Lord, I pray that the message this morning is from you and of you and brings glory to you. And Lord, I just pray that we would all be receptive to what you have for each of us. It may be something different that we each hear this morning. It may not be what I thought people would hear when I preach, but Lord, your message is what is important. And so I just pray your Holy Spirit be active here this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here Jesus in this section, verses 15 to 20, he's really calling people to look. Look at some things. Look around you. There may be some wolves in your presence that are dressed as sheep. There may be different types of fruit around. He's calling us to look at things. He's calling us to see. So the question is, what is Jesus calling us to look at? What is it, this thing that Jesus is calling us to discern and to examine and to see? What are these things? And as you look at the Sermon on the Mount, an answer pops out at you that's pretty simple. At least for me, it pops out. It's pretty simple and pretty straightforward. And it's not necessarily wrong, but I think there's a lot more to it than that straightforward answer. But the straightforward answer is, well, he's concluding the Sermon on the Mount, so look back in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. And it's pretty clear what Jesus is saying is good fruit. It's pretty clear what Jesus is saying would be a wolf in sheep's clothing. Is that you can look and see all the different things that he's taught. He's from the beginning to the end, he's taught about discipleship. And from the very beginning of the sermon to the very end, it's always been about contrasting. He's always said, look, there's some people doing this, but this is what my followers will do. There's some people that pray this way, but this is what my followers will do. There's some people that say that this is murder, but this is what my followers will do. And, you know, throughout the whole sermon from the Beatitudes till now, even last week was, here's the people on the wide road and here's the people on the narrow road. It's always been a contrast. Here's these people, here's my people. And so when you look at this, you say, oh, it's pretty easy. Jesus is saying, you know, like, you just need to discern. You know, the people that do these things are the bad fruit, and the people that don't do those things or that follow Jesus are the good fruit. Or the people that do these things are like sheep, and the people who don't do these things are like wolves, but they have sheep costumes on. So that's kind of the straightforward definition. You look at, this is what Jesus is saying. Well, it's just a matter of recognizing, right? You just need to recognize who the good people are and who the bad people are. Now, I think that is true to an extent, but I think it's much more than that. Jesus is calling us to much more. He's calling us to something more than just trying to recognize the difference in moral behavior. I think it's appropriate at times that you can see what behavior is happening, but there's more than that. Because notice, especially in that first little analogy, he says, people are wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. So you can see there's some duplicity happening here. There's some disguise happening here. That means there's more that's happening than what is that the eye can meet. It's not just a surface recognition of, well, that's good behavior and that's bad behavior. There's something happening here where something may be disguised as good behavior, but is actually bad behavior. And what Jesus is saying here is the why. What he's trying to get to here is the why. You may be surrounded by people. There are people everywhere that might be doing the right things, that might be very moral and upright people. There might be people that are good people, but the reason that they've been doing all these things is wrong. And that's what Jesus is trying to peel back that layer and get back underneath the surface a little bit and say, hey, there might be some costumes here. There might be people dressed up as something that they really aren't. And that there needs to be some discernment to figure out what that is. And if you look at the Sermon on the Mount, it's full of good things. He's talking about prayer. He's talking about people that pray. He's talking about people that give to the poor. He's talking about people that read the Bible. He's talking about people that fast. He's talking about people that aren't really committing any egregious sins. These are the people that the sermon is directed towards. And he's saying, there's a problem here. The people that are doing these things, that's where the problem is. And Jesus kind of goes through this step by step. So this is a conclusion for Jesus, and so that's kind of like what you're supposed to do in all good conclusions is restate the thesis, right? And so let's kind of go through what Jesus has done over and over again. So let's look. There's some people, he said, you know, back in chapter 5, they're thinking, well, I'm not a bad person because I haven't killed anyone. You know, I haven't committed murder. And Jesus is saying, whoa, you think you're good just because you haven't killed anyone? Well, anger, in a lot of ways, is just as bad as murder. Or you say, you think you're pretty good because you haven't committed any adultery? And he says, well, lust is right on par with that. Or you think you're good because you have a system of divorce that you can follow? He says, well, the way you're treating your wives is equal to divorce, and the way that you're doing that is equal to adultery. You think you're good because you haven't lied according to your system of oaths? They have this system in place. Now, if any of this is confusing you, you can go onto the church website, and there's been a sermon preached on all these little individual things. We've been on the Sermon on the Mount for a while. But they had the system of oaths saying that they could do certain things, and as long as they didn't say certain words, they could basically tell lies, but they didn't, as long as it wasn't an oath, it wasn't a real lie. And Jesus said, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Or he said, you think that you're good because you can obey the justice system that you've established, which was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and Jesus says, turn the other cheek and love those who hate you. Or you think you're good because you only hate those who hate you. But Jesus says, I want you to love your enemies. Or then he kind of gets into a little closer to home stuff. Well, you think you're good because you give your money away to the poor. And Jesus says, but you're still ruled by greed. Or you think you're good because as you pray. You pray out loud. You pray in church. You pray in synagogue. He says, go to the room and shut your door and pray there where your Father who sees what you've done in secret. Or you think you're good because you've spent time fasting. You've given up food for X amount of time. Jesus says, no one should know that you're fasting. When you're fasting, don't behave like the hypocrites. That gets a little closer to home. Jesus is saying people can behave in this very moral and upright and godly ways, but the why is wrong. Now, sadly, there are people in this world that are easier to discern, right? There are people in the world who do kill people. We hear that every day in the news. There are people in this world that have given themselves over to evil, that do evil acts, that do horrendous and egregious sins. And there are certainly those people, and we can look at the Sermon on the Mount and say, well, obviously they're not living according to the way that God would have them live. And in reality, it doesn't take much discernment to figure that out, right? So that's, I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. Those would be people, I mean, following Jesus' line of thinking, that they're not wearing a sheep costume. So there are people in this world that maybe they're outright belligerent atheists, and they're actively trying to pull you away from God, and they're saying, hey, you know, you're challenging your faith in a lot of different ways. You know, there are people that maybe you know them personally, or maybe you see them in the news, that don't put any energy into putting sheep's clothing on, right? They're not trying to disguise anyone. This is who they are, and it's obvious who they are, and we don't need any discernment for that type of people. But Jesus, I think, here, when he says he's talking about people that have a sheep's costume on but are just wolves, he's talking about not those kind of egregious act type of people. And I would guess, by and large, those are not the majority of the people that we interact with on a day-to-day basis. Maybe there are some folks like that in your lives that are just, you know, feel like they're outright trying to get you and they're making your lives miserable, and those people exist. And Jesus has a teaching about those people. He says you're supposed to love them. And so that's pretty important. But the majority of the people that we probably interact with in this world are, if you ask them, they probably say they're good people. Oh, I'm a pretty good person. I mean, I'm not perfect, but I'm a pretty good person. I basically do good things. And I wouldn't disagree with that. I think the majority of the world would fall under that category of, you know, not egregiously horrible people, not doing morally bankrupt things, and not just bad people. I don't think that's the majority of the world. But that's not what Jesus is getting at here, and that's not what Jesus is looking for. This is a little bit of a teaser, but if you look forward, where we'll be at, not next week, but the week after that, Jesus says in verse 23, "Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you." Jesus is looking for people that know him. Jesus is looking for that intimate type of relational thing, for people that know him, not just people that are basically good, people that know him. So that's what Jesus is trying to pull out here. And one way to understand this, and this can be a helpful way to understand it, is the difference between folks that are sincerely following Christ and those that are simply just religious folks. You know, the religious people are the ones that Jesus was talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. They say their prayers. They go to church. They read the Bible. They do good things. They help people in need. You know, all these things, but it's just a matter of religion. They're just doing it for whatever their motive is. Maybe their motive is to look good in front of other people. Maybe their motive is to make themselves feel better because they feel empty inside, and when they help other people and they do the right thing, they feel good about themselves. Maybe their motive is to appease some sense of guilt, like you know you've done something wrong, and you know you're not quite as good as what other people think you are, and you think, well, maybe if I do enough good things, I'll feel better about myself. You know, there's all sorts of different motives that people have for religious behavior. But what Jesus is saying is, yeah, religious behavior is probably, and in one way, better than non-religious behavior, but he wants the why. He wants the why to be in order. And it's interesting, we can see throughout Scripture, and a couple times Jesus makes it very clear, that the people that are engulfed or in depth in this religious behavior, it's a really dangerous place to be because they don't realize their danger. Remember the passage, I can't remember it off the top of my head, where Jesus says, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are closer to the kingdom of God than the Pharisee. Because they knew they were in a situation of brokenness. They knew they were in need. They knew they were, according to this world, they were bad people. And so they knew they needed a Savior. And they knew they needed someone to help them. But the religious folks, most people that populate churches, tend towards religion, right? That's our slant. That's my slant. That's what I lean towards because I grew up in the church and I was raised in the church and I know the right things to do. And most of you in here know the right things to do. And so we lean towards being very religious. And the danger is we can be very religious but have the why wrong. And Jesus said that's a dangerous place to be because good behavior in and of itself doesn't lead to knowing Jesus. And that's what he wants. By the way, the answer to that question, you know, why do we do this? It's because we know Jesus. Because, well, in Costa Rica, Caleb, what did they say? What was the reason? Or Laz? Yeah, so that's what they, every time someone would say, why are you here? And all the youth would scream, glorify God. That's the answer. The answer is not to look good or to behave properly. It's about Jesus. It's about God. But that's what Jesus is calling us to. We need to examine, why are we doing these things? Why do we read the Bible? Why do we follow the Sermon on the Mount? Why do we pray? Why do we go to church? So if we look at this, Jesus is calling us to recognize this. He's calling us to examine. He's calling us to discernment. He's calling us to see, okay, where are the wolves? Where's the good fruit? Where's the bad fruit? How do we do that? How do we recognize these things? So a couple points here, 3 points of how do we recognize this in our lives and the lives of other people. First, we need to be mindful of what Jesus said at the beginning of this chapter. So this is towards the middle end of chapter 7, but Jesus started this chapter, that's when he was preaching, he didn't have chapters, but he started this teaching with saying, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged, and that measure will be used to measure you. So first of all, we need to be mindful that as we think about this, that we don't slip into judgmentalism. But also we need to remember when Jesus said, don't judge, he didn't say, turn your minds off, and don't be discerning. Okay, there's we can kind of fall into two extremes here. We can judge people all the time, and Jesus is saying that's a very bad thing to do. Or we can say, Jesus said don't judge, so everything is okay. And that's going to the other extreme. So if you remember, I preached a whole sermon on this, but the importance of of relationships when we get into these type of things. We need to be discerning amongst each other. We need to have that, but it only happens to the extent that we have relationships with each other. You can only enter into this type of relationship if you want to know somebody, if you want to maybe, if there's something you see in someone's life, and maybe God has given you that gift of discernment. I mean, maybe you have that ability to look at other people and say, that person's putting on a front. You know, there's a lot of brokenness and pain, and I can see it, and I can tell, and I know there's something going on there. Maybe you have that gift of discernment. But it only happens with relationship. If you have no relationship with someone and you're pointing out faults or you're pointing out these different types of things, that will come off as judgment. It will feel very judgmental. But it only happens at the speed and it happens at the depth of relationship. To the extent that you know someone and to the extent that you love someone is to the extent that you can enter into their life in this type of discernment and seeing what type of fruit is coming out of their lives and seeing what type of front they might be putting on, what type of who they are underneath the mask. And that's very important. We need those type of people in our lives. We need people to come into our lives and hear us and speak to us and speak into our lives and listen to us. That's very important. But if we try to do this type of activity, if we try to figure out who people really are without really knowing them, it's going to be very painful. You're going to hurt a lot of people. You're going to feel like you're the judge. And that's a dangerous thing to do. So it doesn't mean we avoid it. It doesn't mean we don't do it. It just means that we try to do it the right way. And that is through relationship. And that is through loving people. Secondly, we need to know what we're looking for. What are we looking for? You know, Jesus said, what we're looking for, you can't really see. It's more than what meets the eye, right? So you might want to think, if this person, he's been at church his whole life. I've known him since he was a baby. Jesus says, well, that's not what you're looking for. You know, this person, any one of us, me, all of us can have this. You know, we can pray. We can be eloquent in our prayers. You know, be at church every Sunday, teaching a Sunday school class, being employed as a pastor, helping at the manor, helping at the food pantry, being a nice person, volunteering all the time. You know, all those things are great characteristics. But what Jesus is saying is that those are all exterior things. And any person can do all those things, but inside can be a wolf. And they can put on the mask of a sheep, but inside they can be a completely different people. So you need to know what you're looking for. Now here's a little helpful thing. Well, hopefully it's helpful. I wasn't at the food pantry, but I did visit it. I stole some things. I'll return them. So, Myrna, what do we have here? And here, so we have peaches and kidney beans. Now, which one of these things, after like a hot day, if you're out working, which would you like to crack open and eat? Peaches or kidney beans? Peaches, yeah. I mean, none of you are close enough to see, but these cans have been tampered with. These labels pop off pretty easy. So you take off a label. We don't have, not many of us have fruit trees. I know Elmer has some fruit trees in his yard. So now we have two different cans. Can you tell which is which? They look very identical. You're coming home from a hot day of work. I like some peaches. How are you going to know if you're going to get peaches or kidney beans to eat? Kidney beans are healthy and nutritious. It wouldn't be an all bad thing, right? For this to be a real good analogy, I'd have to say, I know that what's in here is rotten. And that's what Jesus says. There's some fruit that's rotten and there's some fruit that isn't. But the reality is that we can do the same thing with our lives, what I can so easily do with these cans. And I can take this peach label and put it on the kidney bean can and you would never know the difference. Until what? Until you opened it. We can do the same thing with our lives. We can put whatever label we want on. And that's one of the things that's refreshing about working with children, is they haven't completely learned how to put those labels on yet. But it's one of the things that's absolutely amazing about human nature, is how quickly children learn how to put those labels on. By middle school, high school, man, they have it down pat. They can walk into church, and they can do all the right things and all the right actions because they've learned the system. Doesn't take human beings very long to learn the system. And we know how to put on whatever label we need to put on in every given circumstance. And so by the time most people get to middle school, They know how to put their Christian label on when they come to church. And then when they go to school, they know how to put on a different label. And that doesn't stop at middle school. You guys know how to put a label on when you walk through these doors. And you know how to put on a different label when you go to work or when you go to hang out with your friends or when you go do other things. Human beings are so incredibly skilled at doing that. It's like second nature. We don't even think about it. We can just walk in and out of different contexts and be different people. It's just very easy for us to do. Now, just like that can, you'll never know what's inside until you open it up. And just like that's just very good analogy for us. Until we open up, we don't really know what's in the inside. And again, that goes hand in hand with the first step is you only to the extent that you know and you love someone do you really know what's on the inside. And only to the extent that that person is willing to open up to you are you willing to really know what's going on inside their life. But what you're looking for is not the external labels. You're not looking for how people act. You're not looking for the front that they put on or the costume that they're wearing. Paul gives us a little clarification in Galatians when he gives the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So these are the fruits that we're looking for. And if these things flow naturally out of a person, you can see that the Holy Spirit is working in them. But again, that only happens to the extent that you really know someone, so you really start to see what's inside and not what is on the outside. And third and last, when we do this, we need to know who to start with. Who do we start this process with? And the answer is yourself. We have to start with us. Okay, if you're thinking I need to be discerning about other people, I need to look at other people, I need some other people to open up for me so I can disciple them and know them, you need to first start with yourself. You need to look at yourself and to try to identify the fruit that is growing in your life. Try to identify the masks and the labels that you try to put on yourself. Ask yourself why. Why am I coming to Crown Hill every Sunday? Why am I going to Sunday school? Why am I teaching Sunday school? Why am I helping at the food bank? Why am I helping at the manor? Why am I doing all these things? Can you give honest answers to those things? Do you ask yourself, am I that older brother? Am I the older brother that's done everything right for all the wrong reasons? Because I know that's the way I lean. If I'm honest with myself, I just slip into being an older brother and doing all the right things, and no one will know the difference unless I really open up to them. So we need to start with ourselves. And as we start with ourselves, don't stay there. We need to ask someone else about ourselves. I've had a number of different experiences talking with people and getting into kind of the depths of spiritual stuff and how they're really feeling. And people tend to lean two different ways. People can lean towards the negative or pessimistic, and they're always beating themselves up, saying, "Oh, I'm just not that good of a person. I have negative thoughts. Sometimes I don't even know if I believe in God. I don't know where my faith is. My faith is just not strong." People can just beat themselves up and never be assured of who they are as a child of God. And the other people can kind of go towards the other way and like, "Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Things are going good spiritually, great. Things are great." And usually when I hear either one of those, for me it's kind of a red flag of, you're beating yourself up here too much. I think there's more good things happening here. When you say everything's fine, like, well, that's great, but is everything really fine? We tend to, as people, just to either beat ourselves up or to see ourselves in maybe too rosy of a view. And that's where we need other people to be investing into us, to either build us up, and not necessarily tear us down, but to maybe challenge us. And say, is that true? Is everything really fine? Because I don't think either of those are completely true of any of us. Yeah, there are things we struggle with and there are things we're good at. But we need those people to be investing in us. So we need to start with ourselves. So in review here, be mindful of what Jesus said about judgment. This is not a call to judgment. That's not what Jesus is saying here. It's not a call to be judging other people. We need to be aware of what we're looking for and how good people are at putting masks on. And last, we need to start with ourselves and ask other people to enter into our journey with us. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this teaching. We thank you for your Sermon on the Mount that has been recorded for these thousands of years for us to continue to learn from today. And Lord, it would be wrong for me to say that everyone in this room struggles with being an older brother. But Lord, as folks that have grown up in the church, it's just, that's what we struggle with. That's what I struggle with, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that you would reveal that to us and give us a renewed vision of why we do what we do. Why do we come to church? Why do we sing these hymns? Why do we serve? Why do we pray? Why do we read your word? And Lord, give us that renewal. And Lord, I just lift this time up to you as we please sing our closing song for those that will be praying up front. Lord, we just lift this time up into your hands. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have one final closing song, and again, there'll be some elders and some folks in the prayer team up here in the front pews. If you'd like to come forward and receive prayer or anointing, the invitation is open to you. I know that can be daunting to feel like you walk up front, and boy, everyone's going to see me walk up front. Maybe that's okay. So that invitation is open to you. So elders, I invite you to come up to the front, and we'll sing the last song. So please stand with us.